Second Kings chapter 24, starting from verse 1.
In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandments of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did.
Now he says, in his days, he's talking about the king, King Jehoiakim. This king, Jehoiakim, had a contract with the Babylonian people. And 3 years he kept quiet. He paid the taxes and listened to them because he was just like their servant or slave. Because he was not a good king. He was an evil king. But at the same time, the word of God came, he says, according to the word of God. So we are going to read a couple of chapters, a few verses. Let's start with the Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 18 and 19.
Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem.
And Jeremiah 27, starting from verse 6. You can read the whole chapter, we don't have time.
And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servants, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him.
The word of God is saying, King of Babylon is my servant, and I have given to him all the things in his hand. All the people, all the nations, all the animals, and everything. So you can see God was so angry at the children of Israel. Israeli kingdom is already gone. And now the Judah's kingdom is still there, but is having problem. Because God is trying to tell Jehoiakim is not a good king. And he may not get a good burial also. So now here is saying, I have given this kingdom to my servant Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so that means you have to listen to the king. Do not rebel against Babylonian people. If you do, you will have more problems. But this was the message given by Jeremiah. But Jehoiakim rebelled against the Babylonian people. That's why Babylonian people sent so many other countries under him to fight. Okay, let's read up to verse 11. We can read the whole chapter, we don't have time.
And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein.
Now, here the God told very plainly to Israeli people, as well as all the nations. Now God says, King of Babylon is my servant, and listen to him. If you listen to him, and even though some of you stay in Jerusalem, he will not destroy you, and there won't be any famine, there won't be any problem. But if you disobey, all these curses will come upon you. Okay, let's go back to the 2 Kings chapter 24, starting from verse 4.
And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon.
Here God is angry, at Manasseh. After Manasseh, there was a good king, Josiah. He did so many good things, but God did not forget what the Manasseh did. He killed Isaiah. He killed so many prophets. He killed so many innocent people, and he shed the innocent people's blood. So God says, I am not going to forgive his sins. When you hear that God is not going to forgive, even though he repented, if you remember, he repented. I'm talking about the Manasseh. He repented and he got to rule 55 years in Jerusalem. He was the king who ruled longest period of time in the history of King Judah's or even Israeli king. God gave him time, but at the same time God says, I'm not going to forgive him. Bloodshed he did. You remember about King David. King David was a good king. He wanted to build the temple. God says, you cannot build the temple because you shed innocent blood. He did not allow him to build the temple. But we are so grateful to God. Once you repent of your sins, God never says, I'm not going to forgive your sins. That's a blessing because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood, even the last drop of blood for us. We should be so much thankful. That's why when we read all these stories about the Old Testament and we think about the New Testament, we are in the grace period. We have to be so much thankful. God never says, I will never forgive you. Each time you come to God, when you ask him to forgive, he will always there so gracious. Not only that, the word of God says he is our high priest. He is praying for us. He is interceding for us. He is our lawyer. So the devil is the accuser of brethren, but God sent his son. Now his son is a mediator for us. So we should be so much thankful what God has done for us. Okay, verse 5.
Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin his son reigned in his stead.
This man died in Jerusalem, and his son reigned. Now he says, if you want to learn more about it, go to the Chronicles. So if you want to read, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 4 to 8. It's a very short story, but we will be going to Chronicles pretty soon, so I'm not going to read right now. So let's read the verse 7.
And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done.
Now, here we see Egyptian kings or Assyrian kings, their kingdom is gone. But later on, Egypt, Syria, and all the kingdoms went under the king of Babylon. So here he says, now, Egyptian people never came to bother Israeli people. And now, the in charge was given to the king of Babylon. And here he says, Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim's son, he was also evil. But this king did not rule too long. He ruled only 3 months. Okay, let's read a little bit further. Verse 10.
At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants, and his princes, and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord as the Lord had said.
Jehoiachin ruled only 3 months. King of Babylon comes, takes him to exile as a slave, and he goes there. And he says 9th years of his rule, not Jehoiachin's rule. He says Babylonian king's rule. At that time, everything is under the king's hand, and king comes, sends his people, and try to take everything from the Israel. You will be learning not only the silver, gold, and bronze, and all the vessels, but he takes all the big, big officers, all the warriors, and kills them, destroys them. It's a very sad story in this chapter and following chapter. Okay, verse 14.
And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained, save the poorest sword of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon.
He took mighty men, strong people, very highly educated people, smart people, as you know, the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and things like that. And so, but he kept some poor people. The poor people of the land, maybe uneducated, no value for those people. He said, okay, let these people stay here. They can take care of the farms and they can take care of certain things. And they kept the poor people, and all the rich and good people, they took it away. Verse 17.
And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about.
And his son Jehoiachin. Now, this man didn't have the children, so they have to find somebody. They said, okay, we are going to find your uncle. And his name they changed from Mattaniah. The name was Mattaniah, was the gift of God, and they changed it to Zedekiah, the righteousness of God. And I was thinking, the names are changed, but things are not changed. The man was a gift of God, but he was doing all evil things. And they named him righteousness of God, and he was still doing unrighteous things. And he even rebelled against the king. Now you can imagine Babylonian people, a Babylonian man changed his name, gave him the kingdom. He was not supposed to be king. Jehoiakim didn't have any children maybe. And so now here is saying he rebelled, more problem came to the country. And the chapter finishes there. 25, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about.
Now, this Zedekiah reigned for 11 years. Now, his ninth year of reign, that came Babylonian people, and circle all around Jerusalem, and all the warriors of Babylonians watching what the king doing and what the people are doing. So everybody is supposed to listen to the king of Babylon. But these people purposely rebel against the king of Babylon. When they rebel against the king of Babylon, they get more trouble. So now we see what's happening. Verse 2.
And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain.
Now see what happened. 11th year of his reign means almost finishing. And when he was finishing his reign, and this man has his army supposed to be protecting him, when the time comes all the army runs away, and he is alone left. And then Babylonian king was so mad, because we set you as a king, and we told you we will not harass your people, live in peace, all the poor people are left there, and reign here. You're not a king, but we made you king. He should be faithful. And the prophecy was there. Jeremiah was telling, don't listen to other people. Don't listen to other prophet. They might be prophesying wrong. They might be saying, we should not be going to the enemy's territory. We should not be listening to Babylonian kings. We should not be listening to anyone. So some people got confused. They might be thinking, Jeremiah is wrong. He's giving wrong advice. How can some prophet would say, go to enemy's territory and stay there safe, or listen to him and be his slave? So the people were so afraid. And so King Zedekiah also didn't understand the plan of God. So he is rebelling against the king of Babylon, and see what happens to him. Let's read verse 5.
And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him.
So see, as soon as they arrest the king, all scattered. That means you have no security. Some people think, I have army, I have watchmen, and I have guards and this and that. When the time comes and God leaves your hand, no security. So all this army, warriors, trained people, ran for their life. God has made Babylonian king as his servant now. All other countries going to be under him. And he says, already we read, the time will be fulfilled, then God will bring his people back. Until that time, listen to God, because this is your punishment. And that's what it was. And so here we see the king's warriors, soldiers, they all ran away. Let's see what happens. Verse 6.
So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him.
They give judgment. Somebody said, what kind of judgment? You will see the judgment was very severe. What they did, they brought all his children, killed his children in front of him. Can you imagine when your child is in trouble, somebody says, oh, kill me, not to my baby, don't do any harm to my baby. That's the kind of feeling. I don't know how many children, but every son or daughter, everybody was killed in front of him. So he might be so much heartbroken, but could not do anything, and God did not come to rescue, because he did not say, Lord, I made a mistake, please change, and maybe not in my time, some other king's time, but he might be the last king of Judah. So what happens? Let's read a little bit further. Verse 7.
And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon.
First of all, let him see all the children dying. And then, now he said, now you're not going to see anymore. I'm going to make you blind. And not only that, once you're blind, you're not going to run anywhere. But still they tie him with a brass chain or something and carried him to Babylon. It's a sad, sad story and sad situation. When God says something, you listen. If you don't listen to God, worse things can happen. And so sometimes people say, oh, nothing is going to happen. The king of Babylon is my friend. He set me here. And so what is he going to do? He's not going to do anything. But finally, everything went wrong. And now this man is taken to the Babylon. Okay, verse 8.
And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem.
Now, Nebuzaradan is the captain of the Babylonian king. And he is also very cruel man. Okay, verse 9.
And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire.
Now see, this man is a cruel man. He comes and sets the temple on fire. I said that all this temple was built with the beautiful stones. Why are they putting a fire? Because so many things were gold-plated here and gold-plated there. So when you burn everything, everything is going to melt so they can take the things. And all the things, precious things like a silver and gold, and all the vessels of silver and gold, and even the Solomon made a pillar of bronze, and all the decoration with the pomegranate and things like that. Can you imagine how many months and months took to make it? But these people are destroying within no time. They cut it off. To build something, it takes a long time. To build the house, how long it takes? To burn the house, it takes few minutes, and everything can be destroyed. And so here, captain of the Babylonian kings comes and start destroying the temple. Not only that, he said destroyed all people's houses. Not only destroyed, burned the house. So I don't know this, how many people got burned, how many people ran from their life, but it's a miserable thing. How many years the prophets were telling these things are going to happen? They didn't believe. Nowadays also, everybody saying Jesus Christ is coming. Some people set the date, nothing happens, so the people get calluses. He's not coming. But we don't have to worry. The people who do not believe, they have to worry. Because once Jesus Christ comes, we will be safely gone. After that 7 years of period, will be hell on earth. Now, some people don't believe in 7 years period, but it is in the Bible, because that's not my subject today. But first 3.5 years are mild tribulation. Means at that time, the Jewish people or the Christian people will not be suffering. Somebody says, how come? Because these two witnesses, they will be prophesying and they will be harassing the people, the enemies, not the believers. But when they will be killed, after 3.5 years, then the Antichrist start ruling. That's the time main, what you call, persecution happens. That also, some people are thinking the devil is causing. God is pouring more wrath on the devil, and the people who got the marks of the beast and people who rebel against God, those are the people are suffering. But the devil will do some damage to people when they don't take the number. When they don't take the number, they will be instantly killed and they will join with the martyrs. But the people who take the number, they were all going to be persecuted. Means they will all suffer. So the tribulation is not for the believers. Believers can give their life and gone. Don't try to take number if you left behind. Never take the number, because that number will give you food only 3.5 years, last period I'm talking about. That's why some people are going to the mountains and caves, and they're saying, we are going to stay there 3.5 years, carrying the food and everything. And this is the idea people have, that Antichrist will not know where we are. But everybody has a phone, right? And they know where you're standing and where, at what address you are. If you call the police from your cell phone, you don't have to tell them where you are. They will point out where you are. So you can go in the cave or anywhere, they will find you. Gathering things, that's not the good idea. Good idea is give your heart to Jesus Christ and get saved. If you save the money, save the silver and save the gold, the time will come, you will throw your silver and gold on the street and nobody will take it. Somebody will say, it never happens, I will get it. Go to Venezuela. Their money is trash on the floor. Nobody is taking their money. That's not a gold and silver, but they printed money. On the floor, like a trash, That money has no value. So the same thing is going to happen. God already told these people, the suffering is going to come. Famine is going to come. People will come and destroy you. They will burn your houses. They will kill your children. They will kill you. And they never paid attention. That's why the suffering is all about. Okay, verse 10.
And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem roundabouts. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen.
Okay, as I said, poor people, they stayed. Good people, they took it away. And some people, not all good people, some warriors or some priests and some higher authorities, they all got killed. Wall of Jerusalem. Do you know how much happy they were when they built the wall of Jerusalem? Now the wall is broken. Now the enemy is coming from everywhere. And the people start thinking, oh, we are going to run away. But where are they going to run away? They caught the king. The warrior fled away. But they got hold of them. You will see. They got hold of those people and they killed all of those people. So there is a lot of bloodshed and a lot of horrible things were happening. Okay, verse 13.
And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord and the bases in the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon.
Can you imagine? Not only silver and gold, they are after brass. Tons of the brass. So they are making into pieces and taking to the Babylon like thousands and thousands of dollars of brass they are taking. And now they are not satisfied with that. They are breaking all the poles. They are very big poles. In those days, they cannot put it on the ship. Maybe very big ones. Verse 14.
And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapter upon it was brass. And the height of the chapter 3 cubits, and the wreathen work and pomegranates upon the chapter round about all of brass. And like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work.
Can you imagine if the people were alive there, Jewish people, looking at the destruction, looking at all the pillars and all the artwork and all the vessels and everything is taken in from their eyes, how much sadness will be in their heart. This is the temple we worship. This is the temple was built by Solomon, the greatest king. And see what's happening to our country. See what's happening to our temple and our things. Even the little spoon and fork, all those things, they're taken away. Okay, verse 18.
And the captain of the guard took Sariah the chief priest, and Zephaniah the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and five men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land.
The priests, the captains, the warriors, and everybody, they look around. Anybody is left, the strong people. They brought it to the Babylonian kings. Now, some of them he kept as a slave, and some of them, so here he says, all the priests and all the people, doorkeeper and all the people were there. They were all killed. by the king Nebuchadnezzar. This captain didn't kill them, so these people might be thinking, thank God we are safe. We are going to Babylon. Now he did not kill us. If they would have repented on the way, Lord, we are going to Babylon, let them not kill us and things like that, they would have been safe. Some of the people, you know, young people, they came back because they were only 70 years there. So if somebody was like 10 years or 5 years and he's 100 years or 90 years, they can come back. So they have to be humble themselves. But some people, even the disaster coming, and they know it, but they never pray. They never think that it's going to happen to us. Or the hurricane comes, or the rain comes, or any disaster comes. Start praying. The people who pray, now we are in the grace period. God will hear your prayer. Our God is a prayer-answering God. That somebody prayed for certain things and God did not answer. Only time God will not answer, according to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, he says, my hand is not shortened, my ears are not deaf, but why I'm not listening? Because your sin has come between you and me. But if you confess your sins and ask God forgiveness and pray, God will hear your prayer. So when we come to prayer, sit in the prayer, first thing you do, thank God what he has already done for you. And then you say, Lord, I'm sorry if I didn't do anything according to your will, whole day or whole week, please forgive me. And then you start asking what you want. But if you say, God, give me a car, give me a van, give me this, give me that, but I don't want to repent. I'll repent later on when you give me something. Doesn't work that way. You have to thank God what God has done first. Comes to his presence with thanksgiving. If you're not grateful what God has done, why he has to do something more? You have to be thankful what God has done. So the point I'm making, all these things God gave it to Israeli people, silver, gold, big temple, good kings, good prosperity, all other people were slave to them. They got all the land free. God did everything, all the enemies. I told last time one angel comes, kills 185,000 people in one night. Many times they didn't have to use the sword. God fought for them. God did so many miracles for them. But they never kept the word of God. And this is the end. We see what's happening. Okay, verse 22.
And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler.
Now, no kings. All the kings are gone. But they have to find out if somebody we can find and make a at least governor of this place. So all these people remaining in the Israel, somebody will take care. So they took a good man. You know the Shaphan, we already learned last time. Now his son, Gedaliah, they made him a governor. Now, he knew, if I'm a governor, other people made a mistake. They did not listen to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's why they were destroyed. I am going to listen to the Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to tell all the Israeli people, now I am the governor. Let's come, be happy, be joyful, plan everything, and you will have prosperity. Nobody is going to kill you. Nobody is going to destroy you. And he gave the good message, and that's what God was going to do. But see what happens. Let's read the verse 23.
And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, the son of a Amakathite, they and their men.
Now, as soon as these Israeli people came to know, Gedaliah became a governor. He's a good man coming from the religious family, so he's going to treat us good. So the word went around, and all the people said, let's go. And one of them is Ishmael. He's also some of people from the Judah. They said he is the royal seed. I don't know how to trace his seed, but he is also from Judah. So all these Judah's people came. But the one person, like Ishmael, he started thinking, jealousy. This man is telling us, don't fight with the Babylonian people. Let's have peace, and we will live peace and prosperity, because this is what the prophet said. Let's listen to them. And many people came to him, but this Ishmael was a crooked man. He took some of the people and killed the governor. Now when he kills the governor, now he is afraid, because this governor was made by Babylonian people. Now he knows, I killed the man, now Babylonian soldier and Babylonian people will be coming and killing, because he did not kill only Gedaliah. He killed Babylonian soldiers and officers. And his idea was, if I kill them, they'll be afraid of me, and nobody will come from Babylon because I'm the strongest man. That's what he was thinking. See how foolish people, when you have prosperity, we have food, no war, no Babylonian people will do anything. We have a religious man who is the governor. Just listen to him. And he said, I made a covenant. I'm going to treat you very well. He said very good things. Let's read a little bit more. Verse 24.
And Gedaliah swore to them and to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the counties, dwell in the land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the sea royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah.
See, you got 10 people. This man say, you know what? I promise you, I'll treat you well, and you will not have any problem. But they didn't listen. And he got 10 people and killed him. And Chaldeans, means Babylonian people, also were killed. Now he's getting scared. Now there is nobody to support him, because Babylonian people are not there. Gedaliah is killed, and all other people are scared. So what he's trying to say, let's run from here. Where to go? Let's go to Egypt. The Bible says, don't go to Egypt, but he said, we'll go to Egypt. If they would have gone to Babylon, that man would have been killed, but other people might survive. But anyhow, see what happens to them. Verse 26.
And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison.
Jehoiachin was in Babylon. Other king was Zedekiah, already was blinded, and maybe he was killed or something. But Jehoiachin, only 3 months he was a king in Judah, and he was captive there. But God did some grace on him. I don't know, he was praying, it doesn't say here he was praying or what he was doing. But the king of Babylon, with the king changed, so another king, and he says, okay, let's bring that person from the captivity. And he brought this Jehoiachin out of captivity. He gave him good dress, and he said, come and sit with my royal people. And he treated him good, gave him food, gave him allowance, money, and everything. And he treated him very nicely. But the other people who ran away, and they don't want to stay in Jerusalem, they went to Egypt. But in this chapter, doesn't say what happened to them. But we learn in book of Jeremiah and other books, they went there, and then King Babylon came and destroyed those Egyptians and made them slave, and there was no safety for them anyhow. But the person who went there, God says, okay, I'm going to restore you. And he was, until the king died, he got food and shelter and clothes and money and everything. Let's finish this chapter.
And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life.
This man, evil king, only reigned for 3 months, went into Babylon. He, his wife, his mother, and whole family. Thank God they did not kill his wife or mother or anybody. But this man lived in there until he died. But we already learned book of Ezra, book of Nehemiah, and all these books already finished. But the point I'm making, in this time, they're all in Babylon. And they will be there for how many years? 70 years. But we already learned that, and they already came out and things like that. Today is the last day of the Second Kings. We finished the Second Kings. God willing, next week we are going to start the book of First Chronicles. Okay, time is gone. Shall we rise? So let's pray and put it in the hand of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.